Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
I always say guys, but I know there's a lot of ladies that listen. We are on Season 2, Episode 12, and today is Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017. If you want to call in and join our discussion tonight, 646-668-8467 is the telephone number. And you can also email us at stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com, as well as follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, we are at stayoutofcrease. And on Facebook, you can look us up, Stay Out of My Crease. We are also syndicated on Thursday nights on Arena Sports Network. So I don't know how many of you guys watched the women's tournament, but Jimmy and I will get into that. The women's Frozen Four finals happened over the weekend. If you're new to our show, don't hesitate to call, email, tweet, or Facebook us with any questions, complaints, compliments. We love compliments. But, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Jimmy on. Good evening.
Hi, Kimmy. How are you doing, Kimmy?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I talked to you earlier, so I have a headache. But other than that, I'm okay.
Well, you know, sometimes we just have to show prep at the last minute.
Yeah, that's usually when I do it. So, I don't know if you saw that the Blackhawks signed Eddie Belfour to a one-day contract, so he could be with the team for one last day. That's kind of what they're doing with a lot of the old veteran players on there. I mean, Chicago's an original six team, and I just think that's a class move that they're doing that, and I kind of wish more teams would do that.
Yeah, you know, that makes them – it makes it very special, especially when it's somebody that has a history with the club.
He won a couple cups with them, so it's like, you know, he's not like he's just an average goaltender. And, you know, he did go on to, you know, play for a few other teams later, but, you know, he basically made his mark in Chicago. So I thought that was a class act by Chicago. And
it definitely
they have a lot
was. Yeah, speaking of Chicago, they clinched their playoff berth already, along with Washington, Columbus, and Pittsburgh. Your club should be next.
Yeah, we're 1 point away. So, you know, in the next game, it'll happen one way or the other, most likely. You know, we just have to have one of the teams has to lose, or we have to win. So, and we finally did get a win. We've been playing so awful lately that.
I was gonna say, don't be saying that. You're gonna get it here because the way they've been playing. No, I'm kidding. They had a good night last night. They looked
We beat San Jose, who's like lost four in a row now. So I don't. I'm you know, nobody's jumping up and down here. Well, you know, it's you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, but. You know, you juggle lines. This is the time of year when you juggle lines. And this is what Boudreau never used to do when he played for the other, when he coached for the other teams is, you know, he never used to try to mix things up and try to figure out what might work better against some teams and what might not work better against some teams. He just kind of went in going, okay, well, we win the President's Cup, so we're the best team. We're just going to win. And I think his philosophy is different this year. With this particular club, because he doesn't have an Ovechkin on his lineup. You know, he's got a bunch of good players. He doesn't have that one great player, and you know, he's been working all season long to get, you know, figure out which team, which players we're going to play better with, you know, in which situation. And he's really been messing up the D pairs lately, which I think is great because I think that's what he needs to do.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes that works, you know, just a little shakeup. Sometimes, you know, like, and a good example is when your goalie's struggling and he gets pulled out of the game and your backup goalie comes in and how it gives the team a different momentum. Sometimes, you know, changing up those lines and things like that does the same thing. But I heard through the grapevine that you got bragging rights with one of your family members there for that game last night.
Yeah, well, my cousin Christine goes to all the Sharks games out there. So, we won. I think we won all three this year against her club. So, I don't know if she's listening tonight or not, but or if Michael Kennedy is listening or not, but they're out in the Bay Area. So, and they're avid fans, and it's fun. And I always like to see her posts on Facebook and the fact that, you know, the fact that she can be a, not really having grown, I mean, her dad obviously grew up here, played hockey for Duluth East, but her being out there in California and her mother being Japanese, I mean, they obviously didn't have a huge hockey background, but obviously her dad has made some impressions on her as to, and then it's kind of like you rediscovered the sport. It's so much fun to watch. It's so much more fun to watch than any of the other sports because it's constant action. And I think she likes that.
Yeah, and, you know, if Christine is listening, I can tell her that she can always get you back with, haha, they made the final last year.
So, yeah, but they didn't win.
No, they didn't win. Yeah, no, I'm just teasing. But, you know, I know your family is a huge support network of the show, and we get some great feedback from your family members as well as mine. Yours actually listen live. Mine listen on podcast. So, but, yeah, so Jimmy's family is definitely a big, big hockey family.
Well, I think Dad listens live. Mom kind of cuts in and out, so... His mom's not really a big hockey fan. She just likes to hear us talk. So, that's okay too.
Right. I was going to say moms are the best support networks. So, you know, I'll say a shout out. Hi to your mom and dad and, hope they had a great week too. So, let's flip gears real quick here. And, the women's Frozen Four. What a final.
Oh, right. I didn't see it turning out that way. That was a good game at the end. I didn't expect Clarkson to, you know, to get three. And I wasn't empty yet, but the shutout part wasn't really necessarily a surprise because Wisconsin plays that, you know, a very trap oriented game where a lot of their games are low scoring games and that's by design.
Right.
But the fact that they got, you know, they got a couple by Desjardins, Desjardins. The fact that they got a couple by her.
ABN.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Was surprising. But it's not a real big shocker when number two beats number one. You know, it's not like,
right.
You know.
It's not like an A seed came in and beat number one.
Exactly. You know, there's a reason why Clarkson was rated number two. So.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I remember you and I talking, and you had said before the final, and I'm not sure if you said it on the show or if it was when we were talking before the final. Once we found out who was in. But you had said Wisconsin, if Clarkson could score first on them, that Wisconsin's not really good from playing from behind.
And no, they're not. I don't remember if we said that on the show, if it was something we typed via messenger or whatever. But, that's their philosophy, their makeup is we're going to beat you 1-0 or 2-0, and you know, or 2-1 or what have you. So when they get behind, they kind of press, and then they kind of give up more goals. And that was the Gophers and the Bulldogs' success rate against them, was being able to do that, which I thought was, you know, when Clarkson scored first, then I figured, you know, we had a game.
Right. Yeah, I actually had missed most of the game running errands, but you were keeping me up to speed on what was going on. And I think I was just as surprised as a lot of the women's fans that we have that listen to us were, to find out that Clarkson had shut them out 3-0. I think that was the biggest shocker for me. I know you said it wasn't for you, but I just thought Wisconsin was just on that mad streak. And, you know, it always has to end. And I know from reading and everything that Wisconsin tends to have a little bit of issue when it comes to the finals anyway. But I really thought this year they were definitely going to have it. But no, congratulations to Clarkson. This is what, their second women's champion.
Yes, yes it was. So in Maura Crowell of Minnesota Duluth got the women's college hockey coach of the year.
Oh, wow.
And, well, it's amazing. If you look at what she did when she got there, I mean, in 2015, 2016, the Dogs were like 15-21-1, I think it was. And this last year, they were 27-7-5. I mean, that's a turnaround.
That is a turnaround.
So a team that's not very good and making them into a good team. You know, the players were always there. They just didn't necessarily have the coaching that they needed and the motivation that they needed. And then, of course, she goes on. She recruits really, really, really well. So, you know, hats off to her, you know, as far as how well she's done and brought that program back into prominence again and where it belongs.
Yeah, because they were ranked number 2, weren't they?
They were 3.
3.
Clarkson was 2. And Wisconsin
that's
was
right.
1. So.
Right, that's right, because 3 and 4 played each other.
I think the biggest surprise of the biggest surprise of the whole tournament is that they didn't beat the Gophers to get into the Frozen Four. To me, that was the biggest surprise of the whole tournament. Everything else kind of went the way it was supposed to go. You know, when you get number 1 versus number 2 in your championship game, that's kind of how you draw it up on paper. And along the way, it's odd for number 3 to lose to number 5. But, you know, that happens. So,
right.
And the women's tournament is a smaller tournament. You know, they only have 8 teams that play. It's because there's not as many programs out there. They're getting more and more. But at this point, there isn't that many. So, you kind of get a lot of top heavy, you know, teams that tend to dominate, and then, you know, then you have the other player, other teams. But they are, it is getting better. It's getting more exciting for a lot of the games, as far as a lot of the teams playing better. But, you know, it still boils down to there's only a handful of teams that are, you know, realistically have a chance of winning the national championship.
Right. Right. Yeah, I thought it was a very fast-paced, exciting 8. And then when it got down to the Frozen Four, it was even more intense. And then this final game, like I said, I never, ever expected Clarkson to pull it out just because Wisconsin had been so dominating. But, you know, it made for a fun final, and congratulations to those Clarkson women because they earned it. And you know, what else can you say about it? So, I know we're going to finish up the show with college hockey because now that the men's Frozen Four regionals are set for this weekend, I know. We're going to get into that on the second half of our show. So, let's talk a little NHL here because you know, I social media a lot.
That's important.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it is important because April 12th, the playoffs start. I mean, we're just right around the corner from that.
Right.
You know, the wild cards are still up for grab, at least in the Eastern Conference. You know, like I said, Washington, Columbus, Chicago, and Pittsburgh have clinched their playoff spots already. They just are waiting on how to seed. And Columbus lost tonight to Toronto 5-2. I mean,
yes, they did.
So Toronto's coming on strong, but I think they're going to be the weakest. If they make the playoffs, they're going to be the weakest in the Eastern Conference. So that's kind of, as you had said earlier, that's kind of the team that you want to play.
Well, right. And you know, if you look at the Metro Division, Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and the Rangers, Rangers, I don't see them catching Columbus unless they go on a really good run and Columbus kind of struggles. But I think those top three teams, Washington, Pittsburgh, and Columbus, they're going to – I think it's going to be a little bit more of a battle than I originally thought it was because, you know – you get to play Toronto as opposed to playing the Rangers if you finish first, you know. You get to play Toronto as opposed to playing, you know, if it finished right now, Pittsburgh and Columbus would play, and then Washington and Toronto would play. And the Rangers are, you know, the odd one out, and they get to play Montreal, which, you know, they have a better record than Montreal. So that's the easier route to go through the Atlantic, but you know, I won't sleep on Montreal. I mean, Montreal's had some injury issues just like Pittsburgh, you know, there just happened to be their goaltender. So, and then Ottawa is coming on. Boston looks pretty good. And you don't, either Islanders going to sneak in and take Toronto's spot. I mean, they're not that far out. So it's,
actually, with Toronto's win tonight, they moved up to third in the Atlantic, and Boston dropped to the wild card spot.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be game by game as far as they go.
Right.
I mean, you got to figure Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Rangers are in the East,
right.
And Montreal, and most likely Ottawa's in unless they really skid. So
yeah,
you're
fighting. Toronto's only 5 points behind them now.
Right. So you figure that, you know, unless something, you know, weird happens, you know, those six teams are probably, or five teams, you know, five, the four Metro teams are set, and so is Montreal and probably Ottawa. And then you've got a handful of teams fighting for, you know, the third spot in the Atlantic and the second wild card spot. And it should be interesting.
Oh, yeah, because every game matters. Even with the ones that have clinched, Washington has 102 points, Pittsburgh 101, and Columbus 100. I mean, they're all within a point of each other. It's only 2 points separating third and first. So those three teams are still going to have to play hard games in order to figure out how this is going to be seeded. Any one of those three teams have a chance at the President's Cup, more than likely.
It's not necessarily just going to be the President's Cup. It's, you know, well, Chicago's at 100, so they're right in that mix too. But it's not just that. It's, you know, who are you going to play in the first round? Are you going to be able to play the number six, you know, the number two wild card team, or are you going to be forced to play one of the competitors that you're 1 or 2 points ahead of right now? There's a lot of incentive for these teams to finish the stretch and finish in first, so they get, you know, not home ice advantage for one, and then they also get, you know, the weaker team to play in the first round. And then they only have to play most likely one team from the Metropolitan, as opposed to, you know, the second and third place teams are going to have to play two. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
There
are
possibly three if the Rangers come up through the Atlantic side. And, you know, I mean, as it sits right now, let's say Pittsburgh beats Columbus. Washington beats Boston, and then Pittsburgh beats Boston. And so then Pittsburgh's going to have to, you know, possibly play the Rangers. So, I mean, you could play three teams in your own division in the playoffs. And that's fun for the way the playoffs scenario is set up right now. I think that's different than it ever was before. And
right.
I kind of like that.
Makes it more competitive, that's for sure. There aren't teams that are sitting or having healthy scratches for certain players to sit out. I mean, you kind of need everybody on your club to go ahead and give it 110%.
Oh, exactly.
But, yeah, and sticking with the NHL theme, I wanted to kind of talk about hits in the NHL. It seems to be a hot topic on Facebook and Twitter right now with our board checks and checks. Are they dirty? Are they clean? You know, there was the incident between Trocheck and Drew Doughty in the Calgary-Los Angeles King game. And Drew Doughty, after the game the next day, called out Trocheck for being one of the dirtiest players in the NHL. Doughty got an elbow to the face. Trocheck ended up getting suspended for that. And then you have the hit on Jake Guentzel last night with the Buffalo Sabres. And he has a hearing tomorrow to determine whether or not he's going to get suspended. He ended up getting a game misconduct.
Yeah,
now,
I saw the replay back of that, and neither one of those I thought were suspension worthy. You know, this isn't checkers. We're not playing checkers here. You know, we're full contact ice hockey, and you're going to hit people, and things legal. And I really didn't see either one of those as being egregious. It's just a bigger player against it. It's positioning.
Right. Even I can agree the Jake Guentzel thing, the hit on him, wasn't meant to be malicious. Now, I've seen people say, well, Risto went off his skates. Well, if you kind of watch the play, Crosby made a pass to Guentzel that was intercepted. Well, you know, the Buffalo Sabres got possession of it. And the pass was supposed to go to Guentzel. So Risto was trying to,
he was anticipating
check.
The fact that the puck was going to be there.
Right, exactly. Because 98% of the time it is. But Guentzel had his head down because he was looking for the puck. He ended up getting hit, and he has a concussion, so we don't know how long he's going to be out. So we'll be interested to see. But I do have to say the best comment that I saw on social media about the hits was from this young lady by the name of Dana. And she posted in her NHL on NBC's thread about it. She says, please don't make the NHL as soft as you've made other leagues because it's not meant to be that way, and it never has been.
No, and it won't be. You know, if you go back to that Pittsburgh game, though, you know, that was set up by Crosby, and he's the dirtiest player in the league. When he hit the guy in the groin with a stick, you know, I mean, he paid for it later. He got a stick to you, lost a chiclet, so you know, lost a tooth. You know, he got hit later, and there'll be more ramifications from that here. But you know, they didn't call anything on that. And, you know, I mean, that should have been, maybe they are reviewing that, but it could have been a game misconduct and probably, you know, 2-3 game suspension for that. But, you know, no, it's Sid Crosby. We can't fine him. We can't, you know, suspend him. You know, it's like sometimes it's so one-sided as far as the superstars in the league. Same thing with Ovechkin gets the same deal, and there's lots of other players.
And Patrick Kane, too. You know,
Patrick Kane,
throw in Patrick Kane there. Yeah, it truly does. You know, if you're quote unquote a face of the NHL, it's a little bit different. I would, you know, that's my impression, and a lot of other people too. I actually got picked on because they were like, "Well, why aren't you defending what Crosby did?" And I'm like, "Because I can't. You know, I can't
right.
sit here and say that it was something that was an accident because it wasn't. You know,
it
and
wasn't,
I
it was
even
blank.
Told right." I even told you when I first saw it live, because of the speed of the game, I thought maybe there was a puck there and it was an accident. But, you know, I've watched the replays and stuff, and, you know,
that
just,
was no accident.
To me, it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense
right.
at all. It did not.
Right.
But, you know, I'm amused, I guess, over the fact that social media tends to blow up these things. Even more so, you know, with the hits and stuff. And I realize that the NHL, because of what has happened in other sports, has gained a little bit more popularity. And with the finals last year, well, not even the finals, the whole playoffs last year were very exciting playoffs. It was probably one of the better Stanley Cup final playoffs last year. And I think because of the notoriety that it got on NBC, SP, and NBC itself, I think more people paid attention to it last year, and it kind of drew, like, old-school fans back in that maybe had stopped watching hockey because of the strike or, you know, just got fed up with it. And I think because it has gotten a little bit more popular, I think more people are just kind of like, they're either new to the sport, or there are people like me and you that have watched when, like, early 90s, and that's what they did. They hit. You know, that's why you went to hockey games. You went there to see them just knock each other around.
You say early 90s. I'm a little bit before that, but
right.
It's frustrating when they have different sets of rules for different players, and it's like that in every league, and it's very, very frustrating. And, you know, you watch a game like that, you watch it back. I didn't watch the game live, but you watch it back,
right.
And it's like, well, okay, well, you know, he got to do that to the one player for the Sabres, and then when the guy for the Sabres hit him back and teeth, yeah, when he hit him back in the teeth, then and lost the teeth, then, you know, then suddenly he's a double minor. And, you know, and then, unfortunately, the Sabres were really upset at that point, and Gensel took the brunt of it, you know. And,
right.
you know, the reason that Gensel's not playing right now, most likely, is because of what Crosby did.
Right. Yep. I mean, but hockey players enforce themselves. And that's just the way it's been. I mean, I don't expect it any less.
That's the way it's always been. Yep.
Right. I mean, I don't expect any less. And if that makes me a bad Penguin fan, oh well. But, yeah, so I just kind of wanted your opinion, you know, on what people consider quote-unquote cheap shots. And, you know, you answered the same way that I expected you to answer and the way that I would answer. You know, I didn't think anything about the hits last night were malicious. But I do have to tell you, last night was pretty interesting because most of the NHL games were played, like, between 7 and 8 o'clock. So during intermission, you're kind of just flipping through center ice. Like, okay, what game's not in intermission? Which one can I watch? So I did a lot of clicking around last night, too. But I guess we should go ahead and get into our mailbag questions. Again, if you guys want to send us questions, comments, complaints, you can send them to stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com, or you can tweet them to us or even message the Facebook page. Again, if you want to call in tonight, 646-668-8467. All right.
I thought we were already in the mailbag.
No, we weren't. We were just talking.
Oh, Okay. We had mailbag questions we were talking about, so.
Right, yeah. I mean, and some of these will, they'll be quicker because we have already kind of touched on them. So I'll go ahead and start because we were talking NHL playoffs. Robin wanted to know which team or teams need to be concerned going into the NHL Stanley Cup final or finals, the playoffs.
I'm going to go with the 16 teams that make it in.
Yeah, that's pretty good assumption because as we have found out, anything can happen.
Yeah, well, there is absolutely no way that anybody that was any kind of expert in the NHL last year thought the Penguins and the Sharks were going to meet in the finals. There's just no way.
No, everybody had the Blackhawks and the Capitals going.
Yep. And then when the Blackhawks lost to the Blues, then they figured the Blues were going to go. So, yeah, you never really know who's going to go in. So, I mean, everybody's got to be on their best behavior, so to speak, or their best on their – and it's a seven-game series. So it's not one single drop of puck luck. But, you know, you see it so many times in the NHL more than probably any other sport. If you get down two games, a lot of times teams just lose it and, you know, they end up getting swept or lose 4-1 or what have you. So the first game of every series is probably the most important, and that's why home ice advantage is so important in the NHL.
Right. And, you know, I'm actually going to go ahead and pick a team. I'm going to pick my club. I think Pittsburgh, they need to be concerned going in for the simple fact that they are the reigning Stanley Cup champions, and everybody is going to be gunning for them. You know, they're not very healthy right now. I'm not sure how healthy they will be come playoff time. I know some players are starting to come back.
Your AHL team is playing right now. You lost the kid you brought up from the AHL, and now he's off.
Yeah.
So you got to bring up another kid from the AHL. So, injuries are a big problem in Pittsburgh right now.
Even the refs get hurt in Pittsburgh. Even the refs, because there was a linesman that got hurt Sunday in the game. So even the refs get hurt in Pittsburgh. That was a big joke going around on social media. But, you're right. And whereas everybody else is kind of going, oh, my gosh, another injury, I'm sitting there looking at the TV going, oh, my gosh, I'm going to an AHL game in less than a month. And who's going to be there? Because most of them are playing pro right now.
Right. Well, so the second level players are going to be playing there.
Right, yeah, we're going to have players from the Wheeling Nailers coming up playing in Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
They're going to have to because you don't have anybody else.
Right. But, you know, and then I sit there, and like you said, they continue to win, even with these players. So where everybody else is freaking out, I'm sitting there going, hey, look at our young kids. Wow. You know? So I guess I tend to look at it a different way. Robin,
You have Crosby and you have Cullen and you have Kessel and you score a lot of goals. You know, you don't score any. I've never seen you score a goal, but your team does. Your team does. They score a lot of goals, but you give up a lot of goals too. So
yeah.
That could be, you know, heartbreaking come playoff time because a lot of the goals that Pittsburgh has scored, and Washington has always been guilty of this. They score a lot of power play goals. And when you get into the playoffs, you know, the whistle kind of stays in the pocket.
The whistle kind of gets swallowed.
Yeah, well, they don't swallow it because it's on their ring, but ring finger. But And that kind of hurts a lot of the teams that rely on the power play. And Pittsburgh's been relying a lot on the power play. They've been a very good power play team. So, you know, come playoff time, when it, unless they get some of these players back, it's going to be more difficult for them, I think, because they're not going to be able to just outshoot everybody. They're going to have to actually play defense.
And Brian Dumoulin's doing well on defense.
That's the same thing that happens with Washington. Washington, that's why Washington never wins. You know, that's why they get bounced in the first or second round. You know, so we just get bounced in the first or second round because we have to play with Chicago.
That's a good point. Yeah, I guess it's all in who you play. But, yeah, you know, I just always think, like, Chicago last year, you kind of have to go with the Stanley Cup former or the current reigning Stanley Cup champion is always in a little bit of trouble when it comes to playoff time because everybody's glued to that TV, especially if they hate that team, going, please lose, please lose. So, you know, I think it always boils down to whoever the reigning Stanley Cup champion is. They make the playoffs the following year. They're probably the ones that should be concerned the most.
Well, and the other team would be the Sharks, and you, just because you know when you make it into the Stanley Cup Finals, you're playing what 2.5 weeks longer than everybody else does, and you know, for the teams that didn't even make the playoffs, you know, they were done like 2 months before you're still playing, so you know, and this year with the condensed schedule, we're locked in. The schedule got even more compressed, you know.
Right.
You know, a lot of teams are playing every other night right now. And and then you had the new rule came in where you had to, you know, give the team a week off. And so it got even more compressed. So you know, there's going to be a lot of teams that are really worn out come playoff time. So this will be an interesting Stanley Cup series.
Yes, it should be. It definitely should be. I'm excited. I'm very excited. I love good hockey games. So, but Robin, thank you. That was an excellent question. This one's pretty easy. We'll go with this one next. Why is Jack Eichel so underrated? And this comes from Jessie, and she wants to know if it's because he's on the Sabres.
Well, he plays in Buffalo.
Yep.
And he plays by himself.
And he's been injured.
Right. Well, that's the biggest thing. You know, he doesn't have the flashy numbers that Austin Matthews does or that Line A does for Winnipeg. You know, he doesn't have
David.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have those kind of numbers because he hasn't, he was hurt. So, you know, he's kind of under the radar and he doesn't have anybody with him yet. You know, the best thing he can do is not play so well. So that he can get another really good first round draft pick and get somebody to play with him.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you definitely, Buffalo, I think they're basically eliminated from even making the playoffs, essentially. I like to watch him. I think he's very entertaining, but I was a little teed off earlier in the week. And when I say earlier, I mean between last Wednesday and now. Dan Bylsma actually had benched him in a game. And I was like, this is probably the worst thing you could do. So interesting.
Why did he bench him?
Because he kicked in a goal accidentally for the other team. I forget who they were playing. I want to say it was the Kings, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't
quote
me on
that. I think it was the Kings, and that was you don't bench a player for that. I mean, he didn't kick it in on purpose.
No.
Hello.
No. It's not like he did, you know. But I think that kind of has set the tone. I would not be surprised if Bylsma is not the Buffalo coach next year. Because
yeah,
I think that
A lot of coaching changes are going to happen, I think.
Yeah.
Because I like college hockey better than I do pro hockey, Dean Blaze stepped down as the head coach for Nebraska-Omaha, which I thought was shocking. I did not see that coming. For those of you that don't know who Dean Blaze is, he won two national championships with North Dakota back when they were the Fighting Sioux. And Farmer can probably call in and tell you all more about that than I can. But he took a program that was not a program and built them into something that's – well, how many players do you have on your team that played at Omaha?
Off the top of my head, one, two – at least two.
Right. And that was
because I know
that was a program. That was a program that was in the middle of the cornfields. You know, although Minnesota was in the middle of the cornfields too, but that was not not anywhere near a team that anybody would ever think about going to. But because Dean Blaze went there, then suddenly they became important. And a lot of the players that he recruited were players that were kids or relatives of the people that he recruited and won national championships with in North Dakota. So the fact of him stepping down, I mean, he's going to help pick the new head coach. But that was, to me, that was a shocker. I did not see that coming at all because – you know, that's an up-and-coming program. They're still getting better and better, but I think Dean is probably just done.
Right. Yeah, I remember when it happened, you sent me a text message, and you were like, oh, my gosh, you'll never guess what happened. And I'm like, no, I won't, because there's so much that happens. And that's when you were telling me about that. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I don't think anybody saw that one coming, honestly.
No. Well, the athletic director at Omaha probably did, and you know, maybe a couple of people inside the program. But I doubt any of the players really knew that was going on. So it's going to be tough for them now. They're gonna really step down because unless they – I don't know who they're going to bring in for a coach. So it's going to be difficult when you have a legendary coach – and he is a legendary coach, and you lose him, you lose a lot of your recruits and in your recruiting ability. So, but I'm sorry, I digressed.
No, that's okay. I mean, those are important things. We could have a timeline and we would still go off topic. That's what makes us so unique because we find interesting things to tell people. So that was, you know, another great question, Jesse, especially for people who may not follow the Sabres and not realize exactly who Jack Eichel is. If you get a chance to see
that's
him play,
right.
He's actually...
We weren't talking about Dean Blaze, sorry.
Right, that's okay. I'm going back to the question here. Because I like to skip around on you and confuse you.
The thing with Jack Eichel too is, you know, like you said, he was hurt, and there's just nobody up there in Buffalo right now for him to play with. So, you know, I think that once he gets somebody to play with, he'll show up as a better player and he'll get more respect. And I think next year will be a big breakout season for him. Or at least that's my opinion.
You're usually pretty good with your opinions. So, and, you know, I couldn't say it any better myself, honestly. He started out the season with a high ankle sprain, so he was late to come out. But when he did, I mean, he made an impact. But not as much as their goalie did. Nielsen, that guy's huge. He is huge. He just takes up the whole net. And I was surprised that he didn't start last night, but they went with the hot goalie into that game. So, you know, it like Jimmy said, if they get some good draft picks, you know, they'll come up So don't lose hope.
Well, and they have some good teams, that good players that are, you know, in the system coming up. You know, they're either
right.
juniors or in college. And it's just a matter of time. You know, they got to kind of cook those guys up a little bit before they can bring them into the NHL. They're not at the same level as Eichel or, you know, a Laine or a Matthews, where you can just throw them into your team and, you know, 18, 19 years old and expect them to play. You know, a lot of them need some work first.
Right. So we're going to move on quickly because I do want to get to college here within the next, like, 5 to 10 minutes. So if we don't get to your question tonight, please don't be mad. We'll get to it next week, promise. But let's go with this one, because this one we should be able to just – it should be a straightforward answer. The NHL's most goals and points race seem to be heating up, and it seems to be tighter than it has been in the last few years. Who do you think will win? Well, the Art Ross Trophy is going to be the person that has the most points in the NHL. And currently that is Connor McDavid. I know Sidney Crosby's not too far behind on that. But you're right. It's a tighter race this year, I think, than it has been. But in the same thing with the Rocket Richard Trophy, it's going to be the person that has the most goals. And that's Crosby. I mean, and the reason why, I'm not trying to be like a smarty pants or anything like that, but it had happened so quickly where Brad Marchand had taken over the goals lead. And then all of a sudden, Crosby has hat trick in one game. And then he scored again last night. So he just jumped Marchand by like 4 goals. And Marchand hasn't been scoring. So I'm really not trying to be smart about it. It's just, I think this is going to come down to the very last game. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, the goal scoring lead usually has gone to Ovechkin. Since him and Crosby have been in the league. And Ovechkin is now playing the full game, passing the puck, getting more assists. And, you know, but then you look at points, you know, points-wise, Connor McDavid, he just continues every game to seem to get a point or 2 points. You know, and so it would not surprise me if he wins that. It's going to be a fun battle for the rookie point, for the rookie goal thing.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what. There's so many trophies in the NHL. I can't keep track of them, you look at the people that, you know, like Laine, and you look at McDavid, and you look at Matthews, and Johnny Gaudreau for Calgary, and you go, wow, we have a whole new crop of superstars coming up here, and it's going to be fun to watch. Now, is it closer because they're better players? I think so.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right on that. I really do. Like I said, you know, I've always seen Ovechkin run away with it when it comes to the Rocket Richard Trophy. But I think are you talking about the Calder Memorial Trophy? I think that's what you were talking about for the rookies.
Yeah, I don't know what trophy it is. I know there's the Stanley Cup, and I know there's the Vezina, there's like 900 different trophies in the NHL.
Yeah.
I don't I don't keep track of most of them, except the ones that really matter. It's been interesting. It's been interesting the way that Crosby has played this year, because he hasn't played like he's ever played before. He's not setting up his teammates like he used to. He's playing more like Ovechkin than he's playing like Crosby. And getting back to the other question about who should be worried in the postseason, and it probably should be Pittsburgh, because if Crosby doesn't go back to playing like Crosby played, Pittsburgh has no chance.
Yeah. I didn't say they were going to repeat, so it's okay. I set myself up for disappointment early. And, you know, real quickly, speaking of the NHL, I know that you had read the same article I did. One of our questions came from Matt. NHL players are complaining about the playoff format. The only player I have seen vocally complaining is Daniel Winnick from the Washington Capitals. Now, whether that is a ploy to kind of, fire up his team, or whether he is genuinely upset over the number 2 and 3 seeds playing each other. Because I know, and any Capital fan will tell you, they hate seeing Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But if Columbus finishes first in the Metro, then they would have to see him in the first round. So that would make it interesting. My thoughts are, everybody has an opinion, and they're allowed to say what they want. I mean, you know, he could have probably been a little nicer instead of calling it the stupidest thing. But, it happens. Social media blows it up, I think, a little bit more.
What's his last name? Winick?
Winick.
Oh, well, it sounds more like Winick. if you look back at the way the playoff system used to be, he would really be complaining about it. Because it used to be that there were 3 divisions, and even before that it was even longer. But, if you go back to the fact where – back to the day when they added the next 6, you know, it was the original 6 versus the second 6 in the playoffs, and whichever team won out of each division won. That's how Philadelphia won their first 2 Stanley Cups, because they were actually able to get out of – pretty easily out of and everybody made the playoffs back then. So,
right.
It used to be that there were 3 divisions in each conference, and the top 3 teams made it, and then the next 5 made it. And then teams like New York and New Jersey and New York and complained about the fact that teams were getting in because they didn't have as good, they didn't have as much competition. So they said, okay, well, let's finally, they restructured this like every 5 years. But they finally did it where they got to the point where each conference, each division in each conference, because they restructured the way with the unbalanced schedule. It was unfair that you look at an Atlantic Conference team or Atlantic Division team, and you look at a Metro Division team, and they're going to get in with like 78 points or 80 points, and there's going to be probably a team from the Metro that's not going to get in that's going to probably be close to 100 points. And
right.
But what they decided to do was to get the teams that divisional teams to play against each other in the postseason and make it a division versus division thing. And
right.
I kind of like the format.
It makes it interesting and fun. It really does, because 3 could beat number 2 could beat number 3. Number 8 could beat number 1. You just never know. It depends on who comes in hot. It depends on who's riding a hot goalie or, who's getting a little bit more puck luck, even though some people will say, that's not such a thing. It really is. But, you know, it to me, it makes it fun. I enjoy watching it. Always have. So since they went to this format. But, you know, back to Winnick, you know, if he's upset with it, you know, sorry. It's the way it is. It makes it more competitive. And they had to go to this format because of all the teams tying for a point. I mean, that's what makes it so close in the Metro Division is the ties. You know, I think Rangers...
Toronto has like 15 points on ties. And,
right.
You know, the only team that doesn't really have tie points, yeah, they have four. So yep. You know, they're actually winning their way in, whereas, you know, the other teams are losing their way in. And I understand why they went to that format, because before that they had you know, both teams got a point if they went to overtime, both teams got a point. So they switched it around to the fact that you got an extra point if you won in overtime, because teams would not play for the last, like, if they were tied, they wouldn't play for the last, like, 5 minutes of the game, and they wouldn't play in overtime, and just because they wanted to protect the 1 point that they could get. So that was really frustrating at that period of the NHL. But I don't know. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think it is frustrating, you know, especially since Washington has 102 points. I can see Winnick's points. They could be playing another team that has 101 or 100 and, you know, whatever by the end of the season, the regular season. So I get his point, but it's the way it is. I mean, I don't think whining about it on Twitter is going to change it. So, that was a great question, Matt. Jimmy, we're going to go ahead and take our quick...
Well, before we go take ahead. A break, Jimmy, to finish that thought, you know, it's... they set that up because they wanted the teams in their own division to play, because that's the unbalanced schedule, and you play more against your own division than you do against the other divisions, but you benefit from playing against other divisions and the other conference. And, you know, it's one of those things where they wanted to make it set up so that it's one division against another division. And it's really not a whole lot different than they do in the NFL.
Right.
You know, you have one conference winner, and then you have a wild card or two wild cards or what have you. And it's kind of set up the same way. They're still tweaking it. You know, in after 2018, they'll make some more changes to it and probably make it better. But I do like the format, just because it lets the best teams in each division play, and then you get two teams that are, you know, like I say, wild cards that are in there, and but you're playing within your own division for the most part to get out of your division to play the other division. And to me, that makes more sense.
Right. You're exactly right. And that's an excellent point. I'm glad you interrupted me for that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We are going to come back, and we are just flipping over to college hockey. We have a couple of questions for college hockey. What I'll do is, when we come back from break, I'll read those questions, because Jimmy and I are just going to go over them anyway. So I think it'll just be easier to get the questions out along with who asked, and then we can touch on them, and then, because we were going to talk about that anyway. So we'll be right back after our commercial break.
Bob's Big Bend Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Bend Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Bend Bowling.
So talking in to the Frozen Four for the men's, which, if you don't know, will be held in Chicago. And most of the games are being played, well, actually all the games are being played on either ESPN3 or ESPNU. I think there's a few games on ESPN2. So these are more televised than what the women's tournaments were. Jimmy, we had a question from Eric, and he said the women's Frozen Four final was a surprise to many, which we kind of touched on that. Will the men's Frozen Four be more fun to watch, or will there be many upsets?
Oh, the whole tournament is going to be great. There are so many teams and so many players that you will see in the next year or two. Well, I sent you a link on that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, we should probably post that. There are so many players that are going to be playing at the next level that you don't know about right now, but you will. You probably do, because you and I talked about it, but the rest of people don't. It's a fun tournament. And you never know. It's a single elimination tournament. Unlike the NHL where you play seven games, this is, anybody can beat anybody. Granted, the better teams usually win, but they don't always. And it could be, there's a lot of Cinderellas that happen, and a lot more than happen in the basketball tournament than happen in the hockey tournament. The hockey tournament has a history of, wow, how'd you beat those guys? That kind of thing happening all the time.
Yeah, and, if you want to talk upsets, you got to kind of look at that Western Regional that takes place in Fargo, North Dakota. You've got Minnesota Duluth versus Ohio State in that one, as well as Boston University in North Dakota. And that's kind of the powerhouse regional, I would think. The only difference with that is Ohio State's kind of out there left to dry with these other three teams, because they haven't been as consistent this year as the other teams have been. So
yeah, well, I don't see Ohio State having any chance in that. And North Dakota, they're they're theoretically at home, but they play in Grand Forks, and the tournament's actually in the Fargo Dome in Fargo. So
it's kind of a home game.
it's kind of a home game, but it's not necessarily. It'd be like if Pittsburgh were to play in Philly, is that a home game?
No, not really.
Okay. So
not really.
That's kind of the way that sits. Although they did sell that thing out, a month and a half after they announced it. So, that's the only sellout of all the regionals so far. Every game's been sold out. So that'll be fun. And, of course, Duluth being not too far away from Fargo, I think 3 hours, 3.5 hours. So the one that actually is the most out of place is Boston, because that's not
right.
Really very close to North Dakota.
Yeah.
So,
not at all. Not at all. Boston University versus North Dakota, I think, should be a good matchup in there. I kind of tend to agree with you. Ohio State is kind of the odd man out. I would be completely floored if Ohio State pulled it out versus Minnesota Duluth. Not saying that they can't, but I really don't see that happening. But if it does, that's going to be the upset. And I'm going to read Gage's question real quick, because we're actually starting to cover this. He said, your coverage of the NCAA tournament has me glued to your show. Now that the brackets are set, any disappointments or surprises of who got in?
Well, I think peanut butter will help you get rid of the glue that glues you to something. I think that's one of the one of the cures right there. There are so many upsets that could happen in this tournament. It's amazing. You know, anywhere from Air Force beating Western Michigan. I mean, if that happens, that's a huge upset.
Right. And this will be the third time this season that they have met each other.
Air Force and Western Michigan? No,
yeah.
I did not know that. Do they meet out in the tip-off?
I believe so. Yeah, because Western Michigan, this will be the third time that they've played this year. So, third time's a charm for somebody, I assume.
What's the record between the two of them?
You know, I didn't look that up.
At least you know they played three times.
I do know some things.
I think the closest regional is going to be the one where with Minnesota, Notre Dame, Cornell, and UMass Lowell. Because those are relatively that's the middle region. Minnesota's the 4 seed, and Lowell's the 5 seed. So I mean, that's where all the closely matched teams are. You know, I mean,
right.
If you look at the regional that Denver's in the Cincinnati region, that's 1-16, and then you got Penn State 17 and or 15 or whatever. You got Penn State and Union. So it's like Denver's going to get should escape out of that pretty easily, and it shouldn't be much. But the region that Minnesota's the top dog in, I that's going to be fun because those are really, really closely matched teams, and
right. That's
where you could easily see a lower-ranked seed come out.
Right. And to answer your Air Force question, on November 18th, they tied 5-5, and then they played Saturday, November 19th, and Air Force lost 4-1.
Okay.
So this will be the third time. So does that mean that the pattern would be tie, Western Michigan won, and then Air Force wins this time?
That would probably be right.
Okay, so that's just me hoping.
That's kind of your Gordie Howe hat trick right there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. The way they set these regionals up, I think it worked out well. For potential final matchups. I know talked about that.
They actually set it up so that they could, the only ones, like I said, was Air Force and Cornell were the only ones that weren't in the right slotted spots. You switch to 11 out of 12, no big deal. Because they wanted to have, the two Eastern Conference teams and the two Eastern Conference regionals. And that totally makes sense. I get that. You know, you have to try to draw fans. It's just goofy the way that they set these up, And I was really frustrated with the women's Final Four, Frozen Four, because it was in St. Charles, which is right outside of St. Louis, and there are no hockey teams there. You know, they had, I think they have a hockey team there, but I'm not really sure. But you look at some of the where they put the men's, except for Cincinnati, they actually have fans that are going to the games. And it's so much more fun to watch a game when you have a full arena as opposed to when you don't.
Yeah, because Providence is probably the quote-unquote home team of the East Regional. I think they're the closest
right.
where they're playing.
Providence has a decent shot at beating Harvard because they won the national championship 2 years ago. So, and playing at home, they have a pretty good chance of beating Harvard, and that would be fun, you know, to watch. I just like upsets. Upsets are fun.
Right. Well, also, Providence has the top defenseman in the NCAA, which I didn't know until I was reading about it. They also are very well rested coming into the Frozen Four because they missed the Hockey East series. The Hockey East semis.
Right. Yeah, they lost in the first round.
Right. Yeah, so they're coming in a little bit more well rested than the other teams are, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, sometimes is it rest or rust? So
true. Very true. And, you know, on the Harvard side of things, you know, everybody keeps saying that they're as good as they're advertised. They've won a lot of trophies this year. The Beanpot Tournament for one.
That's a tough tournament to win because you got to beat Boston College and Boston University and Northeastern. So, you know, those are four of the best programs in the country. So,
yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that kind of momentum going that they took into the Beanpot Tournament and see how they do against Providence. You know, not to jump around regionals or anything, but I think the game I'm most interested in watching this weekend is Union versus Penn State, just because they seem so evenly matched.
Well, yeah, neither one of those teams are very good. So,
right. Although Union has the Hobie Baker candidates, so
yeah, well,
and I've seen Union play. They got upset by Cornell. So
how many people play on the ice? You got three lines. You got three lines of three, so four lines of three. That's 12. You got six D-men.
Right.
That's 18. And you got a goaltender and a goaltender and a half. So
correct.
I'm happy you have one player that's really good.
No, they have two.
Okay, I'm happy you have two players that are really good. but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I wanted to throw in that fun fact, like Mila.
Sorry.
It's okay.
There's nothing saying that Union can't win and do well, but they'll probably beat Penn State because Penn State has your guy. What's his name? The Russian kid, Nikita.
Yeah. Was that I just blanked on his name. Nikita is his first name.
Yeah, Pavlichev.
That's it. Thank you.
Well, he's like the 6'7", 6'8", 250-pound monster that your Pittsburgh club needs. So, because, you know, most of your team is like 5'8", 112 pounds. So,
115
Well, except for Malkin.
That's true. but yeah, and I actually did, for those that are interested in who is playing in the Men's Frozen Four tournament and that has already been drafted, I did just stick that link up on our Stay Out of My Crease Facebook page. So you can feel free to browse that article there. It's actually very, very informative.
Well, there's probably, 50, 60 people on there at least that are...
Right.
So my favorite, because they talk about each team and which player they have and how dangerous they might be or what have you. And they talk about Air Force, you know, the Falcons. And they said, you know, they'll be a tough out, even though they're devoid of NHL prospects. Being a functioning military institute, that's understandable. So it's like, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to the NHL here. I don't want to, be in the military.
Right.
So,
Yeah, no, those guys will go on to be officers in the Air Force, which, you know, it makes it more fun to watch Air Force, I think, because it's highly unlikely any of these guys are going to give up their military career for the NHL. I mean, you know, people that go to the Air Force Academy tend to be very gung-ho military, which is wonderful. And, you know, my husband was former Air Force, and he knew a couple of people that were great athletes, but they chose the military career because of their love for their country. So, you know, this will probably be the first and last time that you'll see some of these guys play for Air Force, and I think that makes it a little bit more fun to watch them play. But, yeah,
well,
I
completely agree, and, you know, you look at you probably don't remember Roger Staubach from your Dallas Cowboys team.
I do remember Roger Staubach. I don't remember watching him play, but I know who he is.
Right. Well, he was military, and he actually, you know, spent his 4 years. And there's a lot of people in college hockey that do that too. You know, they get to the Air Force, or they get to Army or what have you. And then they'll turn around, and after they're done with their career in the military, then they'll turn around and they'll come back and get redrafted and play in the NHL. I wish I could cite you some examples, but I know there have been. I just don't. they're not as highly publicized because, yeah. Well, because hockey's one of those sports where you a lot of kids use it to get out of the situation that they're in, and they're not necessarily going to choose the Air Force Academy unless they want to go to the Air Force Academy. They're not going to go there
right.
and play hockey.
Right. Yep, that makes sense. You know, they just. They do it for the love of the game.
They do it for the love of the country, and they just happen to be able to play hockey too. So the Air Force.
Yeah,
them
that's
off.
What I meant. They play hockey at the Air Force Academy for the love of the game. That's what I was trying to get out. Now, speaking of, I wanted to talk about the Gophers because we're talking about draft picks. There are two young men that are leading the Gophers in points right now that are undrafted. And that's Tyler Sheehy. Right, and Justin Kloos.
Right. Justin Kloos is the senior captain. He will get drafted this year. There's a couple other players on the team, too, that'll probably go right away. They don't always get drafted because they're not as flashy as some of the other players. But Kloos has really shined well. So he won't be a number one draft pick. He'll probably be third, fourth round or what have you. And he'll play for an AHL team for a little while. But he probably will. He might go second round. There's a lot of players that are like that in college hockey. And those are the ones that are the most dangerous when they get to the pro league because they've been playing for 4 years or sometimes 5 or 6 years. And, it's like kid that you guys picked up, Pittsburgh picked up from, Northeastern,
right.
he played two, three years. Yep. He played a couple of years in juniors. And then he finally got a contract to Northeastern. Oh, that's a great team. Well, not really, but he played well. And, you never know how you get to that point. But there's so many kids that get to that point by just never giving up.
Right. And he's older. He's on the older side. I think he's around 25 or 26. But I do have to give a shout out.
He's been playing amateur hockey for 6 years, so.
Right. And I, you know, last night he scored the game-winning goal for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. So that's a huge deal. You know, your first game with them and you score the winning goal. I mean, hey, he keeps playing like that, he could have a seat on the playoff team because of the way we're going.
Right. Right. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, or he can be, like, providing the bandages for the rest of the players.
True. Matter of fact, there's a page that I follow, and this is totally off topic, but it's called the Angry Pittsburgh Penguin Fans, and they always do like this little game summary. And the one night I had to screenshot it and send it to Jimmy because they were talking about call ups from the AHL, and they were like, they basically the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguin players that come up to the Pittsburgh Penguins, they basically find out when they find their last will and testament taped to their locker. That's how they had it. So I was highly
right because everybody gets hurt up in the Penguins. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Especially if you play defense. sorry, that was way off topic here.
Yeah, well, not that anybody plays peace on the Penguins, but whatever.
right, exactly. But that just popped in my head when you were talking about that. That's hilarious. So, out of curiosity, I know you're looking forward to all of them. So just pick one. Which one do you think is going to be more entertaining to watch for, like, maybe the casual fan that's listening? You think it's going to be the Midwest, the West region, the East?
Oh, I think it's going to be the one up in Fargo. It's the one up in Fargo that's going to be the most exciting because, number one, you have North Dakota up there, and you also have Boston
right.
up there. And you know, Boston is so loaded with talent. I don't remember, and I'm going to make up a number, but it's not the real number, but I think it's like 7 or 8 first round draft picks on that team. And then you have Duluth, which is the second team in the country. And then, you know, kick Ohio State to the curb. But, that is probably, in my opinion, that's going to be the most exciting regional watch. And they're not going to get disappointed up there. And like I said, and it's sold out. So it's going to be, if you're going to watch college hockey this weekend, and I encourage you to do that. But if you're going to, that would be the one that I would make sure that I would watch because they are some of the better programs in the country. And it's sold out. You know, you're not looking at, you know, if you watch the New York Islanders game, you probably have half the stands filled. If you watch a Florida Panthers game, you probably have half the stands filled. This is high school, this is college hockey, and you have every seat sold already. And, I don't know. To me, that's amazing.
Yes. Yes, it is. And, you know, how many did you say they had drafted into the NHL right now?
I think 8 or 9.
They actually have 12.
Okay, 12. Well, I mean number one pick, not.
Oh, number one picks. I thought you meant total picks. Sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. 12 is a pretty good number, too, so.
Yeah, because they're stack loaded with future NHL talent. And they also have one of the best freshman classes, too. So they're not only, you know, going to get these kids that are drafted to the NHL, they still may retain some young talent and that's always good because you definitely want to retain your young talent so that you can continue to make these kind of tournaments and things. So, wow. So I Western Michigan, because I'm moving around to the East Division. I know we've touched on Providence and Harvard and on Air Force as well, but we kind of left out Western Michigan a little bit here. And from what I've heard of Western Michigan. Huh?
They're kind of the sleeper.
Yeah. They're well balanced. And they have that freshman netminder, Ben Blacker, I believe is his name.
Yep.
And he's been very, very strong.
Yeah, they'll probably beat I'd be surprised if they don't beat Air Force. And they have a pretty good chance of beating whoever comes out of the Harvard-Providence game. It would not surprise me if they made it to the Frozen Four.
Right.
They're lower ranked because they had to play Denver and Minnesota Duluth, I mean, and North Dakota and St. Cloud State. And, I mean, all the top teams in the country, basically they had to play every weekend. So... it would not surprise me if they came out of that region and they had to play Duluth. And, you know, I mean, the only thing that surprises me is there's not an NCHC team in the Minnesota bracket because that conference is so dominant and the players on. The way they mix up the freshmen and the seniors in that division, in that conference, is better than pretty much everybody else does. You know, Harvard has seniors.
Right.
And that's about it, you know. And they have really good seniors, but they've been playing for 4 years and they're 26 years old. So,
right.
You know, but Duluth, Denver, Western Michigan, they all have outstanding freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And not all
right.
of them are 26 years old.
Right. And I know on the Northeast, we talked a little bit about Minnesota. Of course, they're loaded with scorers, but they're a little weaker on defense. Notre Dame is kind of the bubble team in there. They could potentially have an upset. Is it likely? Probably not. UMass Lowell, they're peaking at the right time. So that's always a plus when you're going into a tournament. And finally, on Cornell in that, that region, they thrive on low-scoring games. So they're one that, you know, and I watched them upset Union. So I enjoyed it. I like watching teams that are under rank upset the bigger teams.
Right.
I don't know if you have anything to add to those.
Notre Dame and Minnesota should be fun because Notre Dame is actually joining the Big Ten Conference for hockey next year. So they'll actually be meeting next year, which will be fun. And Notre Dame doesn't really know where they're supposed to belong, so they just kind of join different conferences. So, but this is kind of a preview of what we'll see next year. Notre Dame takes a lot of there's a lot of players from Minnesota that go to Notre Dame. And it's not because it's the second class of hockey players, if that makes sense. They go there for the incredible education that Notre Dame has. So when Notre Dame becomes a member of the Big Ten, they'll get Michigan, they'll get Ohio, they'll get Wisconsin, they'll get Minnesota, their recruiting is going to be better for them. So it's going to be more fun to watch them play, but it's better for the kids too.
Right. And you know what? We are actually out of time. So, I know, right? So I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll talk about the Frozen Four, the Men next week. We'll kind of end this. It'll probably cut off. So, again, thank you for listening. Listen to the whole show. Just listen to the podcast. But, yeah, so next week we'll definitely be focusing a little bit more on college. We kind of got a little chatty tonight, which is not unusual. But, hey, it was a great show, Jimmy.
Great show for you too, Jimmy.
Thank you. And we will see you guys back here next week, same time, same place, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If we missed your question or your call or – because I know we've had a number come up in on the switchboard, but every time I would go to pick it up, they would drop the call. So I apologize if we did not get to you this week. We will make sure to do that next week. So everybody have a great week, and we'll see you back here. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're syndicated on Thursday nights on Arena Sports Network. Have a great week, everyone.